Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 tonight. Jesus is continuing on with his parables, teaching spiritual truths in Luke chapter 18. And we're going to get the context of it so we will see how important it is for the revealing of the truth, the heart cry of the Lord to us. Luke 18, and we'll start in verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican, a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote his breast, signifying in his heart, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he desired that in his heart. I tell you, Jesus said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. And here's the key of these connecting parables. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants or little children, that he would touch them. And when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as this little child shall in no wise enter therein. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word tonight. We pray that our hearts and minds will be attuned to what you have to say to us. We humble ourselves, dear Lord, to listen. We ask that you would transform us. Our natural bent, the culture of the day, is to be self-absorbed, to think about themselves, and often that's where it ends. But Lord, the gospel transforms us to be thinking of others and how we might be used by you for your glory, even in the ministry of little children. And I pray that you be exalted in us, in this church, in this area as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Sam Gore is passed away now, but that's Laurie Reeder's uncle, Brother Dan's brother. And he does the sculptures, and he has a number of these around the United States. And one of my favorite ones that he has done is Jesus receiving the children. Of course, they're bronze, I guess, now after he finishes them and permanently in place. And Luke 18 here, we see in these parables three categories that the Lord wants us to do. One, he doesn't want us to walk in pride. Secondly, he wants us to walk in humility. And he wants our heart to be childlike. That's not childish. It's childlike. What is a child heart like? Well, it easily depends on its parents. That's what a child's heart is like. It is dependent on the parent, and it doesn't know anything else. In a good while, you know, I think my son Joshua was like 12 or something of this nature, and I had nicknamed him Little Man. Hey, Little Man, Little Man, Little Man this, Little Man that. And one day he got a little mustard up at 12 years of age, and he said, Dad, have you noticed I'm no longer a little man? Well, he's still going to be a little man to me his whole life. Amen. But he's a little bit bigger little man now. A term of endearment for children, loving children. You know the condition of a church when you see its attitude toward children, the elderly, and the sick. Children, the elderly, and the sick. And included in that is one predominant, that's widows. So you see those four different categories there. Sometimes those sick and widows, for instance, overlap, as we know, and widowers, of course, as well. If you look in the text, so I think these two sentences mean virtually the same thing. Verse 14, the statement, everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased or humbled. I think that's the same as saying in verse 17, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Why? Because it takes humility to enter into the family of God, the kingdom of God. It takes humility. And then the other parallel points are in verse 14. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I think that's the same as saying in verse 17, everyone who receives the kingdom of God like a child will enter therein. Pretty good. So it's the childlikeness in humility that is in view in both of these. Now we hope we just wear our flesh out tonight on these things. Let's just read a few statements. Pride keeps people from humbling themselves and coming to Christ as a sinner. That's pride that does that. Pride also hinders believers from finding ways to bring children to Christ. Look in verse 15. What does it say is happening in verse 15? And they, the parents, brought unto him also infants, their little children, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. What did they think? They thought that Jesus was too important to be bothered with children. Well, if we're too busy to bother with our children, somebody else won't be too busy. Isn't that true? So we've got to be constantly in communication with our children as much as we God allows us to be with them. I don't mean 24/7, of course. I just mean keep open communication with our children as best we can. The devil will always try to ruin our relationship with our children. He will attack you. He will attack your children. He will accuse you from your children, so you'll separate your children from you. That's a tactic of Satan. Remember that. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and he loves to accuse within the home first place. He likes to start the fights, doubts, fears, when it's supposed to be the most protective and honoring place that God gives us. So in verse 15, there were parents bringing their infants to Jesus. The disciples rebuked them, and Jesus rejects this rebuke and encourages the parents to bring their children to him. Now, by way of application, we had this morning, by coincidence, I'm sure, the mention of the Angel Tree Ministries. And let me just tell you what that is. We are preparing to work with children of literal imprisoned adults. Their parents are in jail, in other words. And we must not despise them due to the sins of their fathers or mothers. Don't despise the children based on what their parents have done. As a matter of fact, don't despise what their parents, who their parents are, even if those are parents of sin. You know why? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we want to minister. Are we going to try to use this as a means to reach the whole family? Oh, yes. We are. Here are some of the dangers of pride. If you are not childlike toward God, that means humbly depending on Him, children will probably be beneath you and not worth your time. Children are not worth your time. That's cause of pride. So there is a very close connection between our own humility and our ability to lead children to Jesus. In fact, someone has told me in the past, I'd rather work with children. They don't usually argue with you. Okay, you know. The great hindrance to effective ministry to children is pride. That's the hindrance of the ministry, pride. And the great gift for ministry to children is humility. You never know what's going to come out of a child's mouth, amen? And as we culture moves away from God, we never know what's going to come out of an adult's mouth either, I found out. Isn't that the truth? So it used to be adults were a little more gathered and conservative in what they would say. You know, they speak to someone privately. Today, they'll just bust you publicly, you know. It didn't used to be that way, but it is today. Pride keeps people from being saved. Pride exalts self by putting down others. Pride craves to be esteemed above others. Pride hinders serving others, especially older people, widows, orphan children, or the sick. Pride esteems rich people over poor people. Pride, which is a lack of humility, hinders dependence on God. Boy, that's a big one. The pride don't really need to depend on God. Who are they dependent on? Themselves. That's pride. Pride doesn't see the need to pray about things. Does that one have a little sting to it? Pride doesn't see the need to pray about things. Oof. Pride makes people pushy versus pleasant to be around. Now, if you have some suggestions for the ministry, that's fine. We'll be glad to take all the suggestions that you desire. But when you give these suggestions, we might be putting you in charge of the project. Just to let you know. How about that one, Dave? You like that one? Somebody's got a lot of good suggestions. Okay, why don't you run it? This always helps to clarify the fact there's a lot more work going on than you thought ahead of time, right? For sure. You know, John Mark over here is not feeling very good tonight because he thought one of the speakers didn't produce out as he thought he was. Hey, listen, John Mark, forget about it. Look at all the glory of God that took place. Right? Tell him, everybody, right? Say, isn't that right, John Mark? One, two, three. Isn't that right, John Mark? Let's try it again. One, two, three. Isn't that right, John Mark? Okay, there you go. Very good. That's how it goes, you see. So our evangelist had a great time, John Van Gilderen. I believe he and his wife and son really love the Lord. And the gift of evangelists has been used of the Lord many places, and it's a blessing. Now, this is going to be a sting. Do you want to see a manifestation of pride? Jesus' half-brother writes about it, James chapter 4. It is not a pretty scene. Turn to James chapter 4. This is... we'll look at it. It's after Hebrews. All the T's, remember those? Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus. And then you got Hebrews, Philemon, Hebrews, and then the book of James. Okay? James chapter 4. James was a pretty strict individual. Did you know that James did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah until after Jesus resurrected and he grew up with Jesus? That shows you the blindness of men's hearts, doesn't it? Yes or no? Now, one problem, you know, let's just have a little bit of fun here. Could you imagine growing up with Jesus and James saying, "It wasn't me, Dad, it was Jesus." And his parents saying, "No, it wasn't." And when Jesus would explain what was going on, everyone would humble themselves because he knows the hearts of men. Good stuff, amen? Well, sometimes we're not getting our prayers answered because there's pride operating in our heart, and that's world conformity, by the way. But let's look at James chapter 4 when we're willing to submit to God's will in our lives. This whole manifestation, this chapter, is pride in action. It's the lust of our flesh trying to take over in different areas of life. Let's look at them. James chapter 4, verse 1. And this is written to who? The unsaved or the saved? Saved people. Okay. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? That's something of your flesh that rose up, and it caused contention. But here's what's really going on in your heart. Verse 2. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war. But had you just prayed about it, you would have got it. That's what that means. You have not because you ask not. Pride doesn't see the need to pray about stuff. Okay. Verse 3, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. You actually have an evil intent that you may consume it upon your lust. You're not, that means you're not concerned about the advancement of the kingdom. You're not concerned about building up your spouse or some other person. There's just something you want and you want to consume it. Consume it. And here's one of the manifestations of that, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity or hatred with God or fight with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. This doesn't mean thanking God that you're an enemy against the sun and the flowers. No, not. This is the world system, the cosmos in which Satan rules in the darkness. And he rules through our lusts, our flesh. So if you want to give vent to Satan's leadership, just let him have his way with you, and you will go about from one lust dominating choice to another. Lust is not a good leader. So then he goes on to say, verse 5, do you think that the scripture saith in vain? Do you think the Lord is wasting his time when he wrote, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? And of course, this is the spirit having the same strong desire to take over versus our flesh. And it says, but he giveth more what? Grace. He will give grace to pass each test. Remember, what are we contrasting here? Pride and humility, right? He says in verse 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. And what have we found out about the proud so far? They are fighting versus praying. They are lusting versus allowing the Lord to lead them. And they're acting spiritually like adulterers and adulteresses. That would include men and women, by the way. Not limited just to men. He's very strong on men, by the way. Being an Orthodox Jew as he was, a very lettered individual. But when Christ rose from the dead, he saw the light. He would have been well versed in the Old Testament, but now the Old Testament has come to light. Verse 6, he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. If you're acting in that fashion, God will resist giving you what you desire. But he does give grace unto the what? To the humble. So the humble here are those who are asking God for certain things, and if they don't get it, they say, it is well with my soul anyways. Verse 7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Because didn't you know it's the devil driving your lust anyways? Did you realize that who's behind it? Well, he's showing it. He's revealing it to us. Well, how am I going to not yield to the temptations of the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life? 1 John 2:15. Here's how you're going to do it. Verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify ye hearts, ye double-minded. You can't be double-minded unless you're saved. Saved people sometimes get double-minded. And part of that affliction, part of that humility is to be afflicted and mourn and weep. Man, I don't know why I was thinking like that way in the flesh. So this is humility acting itself out in verse 9. And your joy will be turned, your joy turned to heaviness. Because there is some sorrow associated with sin against God. And that's part of the humbling process. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. There's that exaltation again. In your social relationships, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. You're not properly relating to the law. If you're using it to beat your brother over the head, in other words. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Don't make yourself the judge. Point to God as the judge. And then how about business practices? It goes right into that. Go to now ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, continue there a year, buy and sell and get gain. That's part of the lust of men without prayer. But here's the reality. We don't even know if we're going to be alive tomorrow. Verse 14, wherefore you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor. It's really just a short time. It appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. For you ought to say, and here is humility coming out, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you're rejoicing in your boastings without prayer. All such rejoicing is in called what? Evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What is the sin? It is the pride, the self-dependence here that is going through life with very little prayer. And that's humbling, isn't it? So let's not live like most of the people in the world live, like the lost live. And this shows you here how they generally handle things. Let's humble ourselves to live, listen to this statement here, to live like a depending, grace-receiving, can't-earn-salvation, God-embraced child of God. Live that way. Let us humble ourselves to live like a depending, continually, grace-receiving, can't-earn-salvation, God-embraced child of God. Because we're remembering tonight, we're talking about let the children come to me. In fact, that's my title. Let the children come to me out of Luke 18. In Romans 12, verses 3 and verse 10, the Word of God says this. For I say through the grace given unto me and to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love. That's humility in action. In honor, preferring one another. Just as sinners must humble themselves to be saved, the saved must continually humble themselves to serve. And if we think that any ministry is beneath us, we will try to kill that ministry. Don't bring the children. Well, Jesus commanded to let the children come to him. And we believe the Lord has led us in this angel tree ministries. If it takes place as we hope it does, there'll be different people of different skin color, races. There's really only one race, the race of men that God created. One blood, Book of Acts says. There'll be things that we're not used to. There're probably going to be things said that we wish we didn't hear. But we want to know that we're dealing with children. Today, children have heard things up to 5 and 6, 7, 8 years of age that you didn't hear till you were 21 years old, allowed to go in the bar, drink beers, and listen to dirty stories if you wanted to. Today, they have that at 5 and 6 years of age. That's our culture. So I hope that you have a heart of compassion in these things and ask that God would give us grace as we hope to serve the Lord in this fashion by allowing the children to come. Jesus is saying, in effect, bring the children to me so that they might know God as their spiritual father too. Bring the children to me so that they might know God as their father too. Don't rebuke, don't tell them no, don't rebuke them. Let them come. Father, I ask that you would just use us for your glory. Prepare the hearts of the people here to be involved in this ministry. We may be getting some names in the future. We can divide these up, maybe take a name, take on a child as our own ministry. our family, our church body. May we give them a Christmas gift out of our own income as a sacrifice of love, a demonstration of Jesus Christ, the love of the Father who loved us while we were yet sinning against Him. We didn't earn Your favor, Father, and we don't have to earn it now. That's the amazing thing about grace. And may these little children and their parents, by extension, whether one's in jail or both are, or they don't even live in this state, we pray to the Lord that You would make it an effectual ministry. We know we can't do it. Well, we've never done it before. That's true. It's more likely that we'll depend upon You because of it, because we haven't done it before. So we just ask You to use us for Your glory. Lord, add the children to the family of God. Cause them to know the great joy that we have in our hearts by knowing God as our Father. I pray that You would increase our ministries with the children here in the summer, that You would give Brother Josh and I and others ideas how we might have more ministries to the children during the summer as well, who otherwise won't come in this building. They might come in the parking lot, though, or out in the grass field. And I pray You would deliver us from having to have formal services all the time where mainly only the saved people come. You know what needs to be done, dear Lord. Guide and direct us by Your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. All God's people say, amen. Well, I'm done. I mean, this is unusual. I'm a little earlier, but I am finished. God bless you.